Hey, Pocket Change listeners. It is our absolute pleasure to have Nikki Chartrand back today. We're going to talk all about mindset. We're going to talk about tools for mindset. We're going to talk about the trends that Nikki's seeing within her clients. We're going to talk about the value of journaling, recognizing the value of your life experiences, and how to cultivate consistency. Stay tuned. We're coming at you. And welcome back, listeners. Today, it is my absolute pleasure to welcome back my very good friend and coach, Nikki Chartrand. Hi, Nikki. How are you doing?
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me. I'm doing really well.
Yeah. You know, we are both in the depth of a competition prep, and we're seeing a lot of people moving through a lot of change and transition as people really start to come back to life post-pandemic. And, you know, we talk a lot about mindset. And so I wanted to have you back on the show to really just focus on mindset and tactics. Like, what can people do in terms of mindset?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're in a really high impact space right now where people are pulling out of what was a really hard few years, and they are really struggling to do a few things, to refocus, to figure out who they are now post all of that trauma and all of that painful experience, and how to process and move forward from that. So mindset is everything, as we already know. If you want to be successful in fitness, business, have successful personal relationships, mindset is everything. How you look at something, how you process the information you take in and move forward from it, learn from it, grow from it. Mindset is everything. So as far as tools, basic things that I will always recommend to people who need to streamline and like refocus, start with gratitude. Wake up every morning. First thing you do is start running through things you're grateful for before you even roll out of bed. Like, turn your alarm off and start, okay, I'm so grateful for this day. I'm so grateful that it's cloudy outside and the sun isn't blinding my eyes. You know, I'm so grateful that I have this incredible, resilient body that does what I tell it to do. And I'm so grateful that I have another chance to be my best self. Whatever resonates with you that day, maybe it's as simple as, I'm so grateful I woke up this morning. But starting your day off in gratitude is always going to set a really great high vibe intention for your day. So starting there, also acknowledging and giving some credit to the tough stuff that you went through. There's value in it. There are lessons to learn. There's so much growth that comes from all of the hard stuff. For people to be really successful right now in this stage, coming out of all that, we have to acknowledge that it was crappy. We have to acknowledge that it was hard and it was painful. And you got to look back and figure out what you learned from that time. Otherwise, It can be really, it can really take you down a dark hole. So,
yeah. Well, and I think that it's such a great point in terms of recognizing and appreciating the hard stuff, right? Like the things that we go through that actually make us strong, you know, having that gratitude and looking back and saying, I am stronger today because I went through that yesterday. And it's that old adage of you can't appreciate the light without having the darkness. And, you know, I look at a lot of the things that we've experienced even just in the past year, right? Of, you know, moving through life and revamping businesses and, you know, really ramping back up. And we're seeing a lot of businesses close because they just simply can't compete with what they've gone through. And, you know, I guess the question I would have is, what are some of the trends that you're seeing in your mindset clients? Because you've really shifted your gears where, you know, you were kind of this, you were a mindset coach disguised as a fitness coach the first time you were on the show. Now you're actually a mindset coach who sometimes does fitness.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly the transition I've made. And I'm seeing some really distinct trends in people. There is one category of human who is right now extremely motivated to revolutionize and optimize who they are. And there's a second group of people who feel stuck and who feel like what we have previously identified or labeled as a midlife crisis now I'm seeing, I don't like to call it that, but there's a whole group of people in that space right now where they're not sure who they are anymore. They're not sure what direction they want to go anymore. They have maybe had really successful long-term careers to this point, and now they're in a space where they're in a transition of career, or they're in transition of relationships, and they don't know who they are or where they're going. So those are kind of fundamentally the two basic groups of people that I'm seeing right now. They're really the really motivated people to really get to the next level as quickly as they can. And the other group of people who aren't sure even where they are, never mind wanting to get to the next level.
That's a pretty scary spot to be in. So when you find somebody who is just deciding or going through this large transition, right? Been laid off from a job, changing careers, maybe going through a divorce, maybe starting a new relationship that maybe isn't going great, whatever that looks like. What are some of the tools and the tactics that you are putting into people's hands to help them drive through those challenges?
Some very basic things that we start off with are just basic journaling exercises. And I say basic, but for someone who's never journaled or reflected on themselves or their passions or their behaviors, it can be really intimidating at first. But we just open the door with simple journaling exercises, like open the page and just write down what you love, what lights you up, what makes you feel alive, who are some people that bring you joy, what are some things that bring you joy. Just reconnecting with things you love, things that make you feel at peace, identifying and acknowledging things maybe that you love to do or bring you some sense of fulfillment that you haven't been doing in a while, and also identifying habits and behaviors, routines that don't serve who you are or who you want to be. Like, what can we cultivate and nurture versus what can we stop doing because it's becoming destructive? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I start with everybody. Some people have a better idea and some people go, I have no idea what I love, because it's been so long since I had the opportunity to stop and be like, oh, what do I feel like doing? Or what do I don't even know. So I really encourage people to start with really basic, small, like everyday things. Like when you hold a cup of coffee in your hand and drink it, does that start your day off right? Like, I love it. Or for me, when the weather turns and I get to wear a pair of fluffy slippers around the house, I can't help but smile when I look down at my feet and there's a pair of fluffy unicorns on my feet. So this stuff brings me joy, and it's everyday little magical pieces of joy. And if we can start to bring awareness to these things, acknowledge them, we really start to build a comprehensive list of tangible and intangible things that bring us joy, make us feel alive, make us feel like we can take a deep breath and everything's going to be okay. So that's usually where I start people, is get the journal open, tell me what you love, what lights you up, and let's start there.
Mm-hmm. Really looking at the positive to start to reframe and move people into a new direction.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And once we can establish that, then we can start on other things like looking back and, okay, tell me what were some high impact times in your life that society now wants to label as trauma. I think this is a very overused term, but let's look back at the high impact moments. What stands out as a high impact moment from the last year or two? Now, what were the circumstances around that? How did you behave and react to the situation? What did you learn? How can we extrapolate what you learned and apply it going forward so that you can just continue to grow and not have to experience something like that in the same way again? So
it's that second mouse, you know, and it's really interesting. So I just came back from a really long distance business trip, and I drove because it was long distance into a random remote area. And I listened to a book called Hello Molly, and it was Molly Shannon's memoir. And I would strongly recommend it to anybody. It's such a great book. And her story is just, it's insane. And, you know, it starts out with a car accident when she is 4 years old, and her mother, her cousin, and her baby sister all perish in this accident. And it leaves her father horrifically damaged, and her sister living with her aunt And so she's four when this happens. And of course, when I had my highest impact moment, I was also four. And what's really interesting is that what I find is with the mindset work that I do with you is that I just find myself open to creating realizations, because as you start to clear that clutter out of your mind in terms of those high impact moments and the impact that they left on you, and then you start to say, okay, what did I learn from this? And then you start recognizing and appreciating the hard stuff that you've gone through, your mind clears. And it was really interesting because as I was listening to this book, I was able to draw these incredibly strong parallels, because her older sister was six when her mom passed away. My older sister was six when our mother abandoned us. And so I was sitting there and I'm listening to this story of the single father and how these little girls had dirty necks because they were out running around the neighborhood. And I was like, holy smokes, like this is literally like this reminds the parallels between our childhood were just insane. But what happened was as the book was going on, she makes a comment about when she starts elementary school, how she will not breed strong relationships with women. It's just not a possibility for her. And it clicked for me that until I was like the age I am now, I have never really trusted in relationships with women, you know, which is weird considering. But, you know, I mean, until the recent points in my life, I've never been able to do that. And I thought to myself, like, this is a really powerful moment for me to recognize something in myself, because I've cleared all of these things that hurt me in the past. And I can actually see that there are some things that I still have to learn. You know, are you finding that with some of your other clients as they progress, that they're opening up and it's almost like a head of lettuce or, you know, a cabbage, you peel one layer off and there's still so many more to who we are. And I think it's less about a healing journey, if you will. And it's more about a learning journey and being able to appreciate life in the moment and value everything that we've experienced and what we bring to the table.
Yes. Yes. It's not, so these pop terms like trauma and healing journey, these are things I don't like because it's just a journey. Mm-hmm. You spend your whole life healing from your past trauma. But anyway, I digress. First of all, I want to recognize and acknowledge the way you spent your time in the vehicle. This is such a valuable tool. People don't realize that when you have to be sitting in traffic and you have no other choice, you can utilize that time in a valuable way. Mm-hmm. Put on a playlist that pumps you up, put on a book that you're interested in, anything, put on a podcast you're interested in, utilize that time and make it work for you and not against you. First of all, great job doing that. But yeah, there's so much value in what we have experienced to this point in our life. And if you are sitting in a space where you can't recognize the value, then you are going to sit in that space and just continue to deteriorate. If you can look at the hard stuff you've been through and recognize how that has an impact on the behaviors and choices that you make now, that is when you come to a place of power where you can choose something different. So your acknowledgement of the experience that you had with your mother abandoning you and how that affected your ability to trust women in relationships in your entire life until just very recently, that's hugely valuable because now when you meet a woman that you connect with, resonate with, your values are in alignment, you can make the choice. Okay, mm-hmm. Do I feel safe enough here to be vulnerable with this person and start building some trust?
Yep.
Recognizing that my inclination is to shut it down and keep my walls up because it protected me all of those years ago. Do I still need that same protection now? Or do I have the skills and knowledge to be able to handle a situation like that where somebody might let me down or hurt me or possibly even abandon me going forward?
Mm-hmm.
But you have all those skills and tools now, and you get to make the choice.
Well, and choice is such a powerful tool, right? I mean, the choice to flourish or the choice to languish really is what we're talking about here, right? Am I going to live in the past and continue looking behind me as opposed to being present? And I think that when I think of some of the mindset work that has resonated the most with me, it's things like being you know, present. It's the journaling activities. The other thing is mindfulness in terms of, you know, being with family, being with friends. You know, we're so distracted by technology and social media and keeping up with the Joneses. You know, I had this really, really fantastic conversation with my aunt and uncle yesterday. On my drive after I finished my audiobook, I thought I'm going to phone every senior citizen in my phone book who's in my family. And so I phoned in-laws, I phoned parents, I phoned aunts and uncles, and I phoned over to British Columbia and I talked to my dad's brother. And I haven't talked to him in a very long time. And so my aunt answers the phone and she answered it very oddly. This is Viv. Vivian, hello. I was like, oh, hello. And so she puts me on speakerphone and I had this absolutely delightful conversation with these two folks who, you know, I haven't talked to in such a long time. And it was so powerful for me to be able, like I came home and I just felt light because I used my time to learn. I listened to music. I, you know, spent all of these different conversations just learning and enjoying my family. And you know, I kind of floated through the door last night. And I find that those are the types of things where, you know, connection is something that we're lacking. But, you know, my aunt and uncle, yes, they both have Facebook, but are they ever on it? Absolutely not. Like they're not. You know why? Because they're of the era where when they want to read their news, they might read it on the internet, but they'll probably go buy a newspaper. They're in their 80s, right? And that was a much simpler time. We weren't competing. You didn't know what somebody else was doing at all times. So you weren't in a constant state of this competitive mode of keeping up with people. And I think that that's a really big missing link. And I think that when we look at the decline of our mental health and our mental well-being and our spiritual health, a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're addicted to technology and we're simply not focusing on the things that actually matter.
Well, the thing is, we think we're so connected now because mm-hmm. everybody has access to my Instagram. Everybody can go on there and see, but it's actually the most disconnected, I think, our generation of human has ever been. And you touch on such an important point there where a generation that's older than us is not going to find a meaningful connection over the tools that we use, like social media. It's a matter of figuring out, like knowing your audience, right? How does the person I'm communicating with see value in connection? So if that's making a telephone call to a senior citizen who doesn't spend all day on Instagram, that's a really meaningful connection that you've just made. And connecting with people in a way that makes sense to them and adds value to their life is so meaningful. But yeah, I think we're more disconnected than ever. People always say to me all the time, oh, Nikki, I know everything about you. I follow you on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, I put about 10% of my life on social media.
Yeah.
The rest is not out there. But people who love me and want to and are interested in my real life connect with me in a way that's meaningful to me. And that's how I share my life with people. We connect in a meaningful way with people who I love and value. And the rest get to see what they see on social media. But I agree with you. We're more disconnected than ever. And it's we have tools and opportunities to be mindful and present and connect in a meaningful way. We just have to do it.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, our family got away from it because of the fact that we were constantly on the go when Ruth was little and, you know, we're all athletes. And so we're constantly moving in different directions, but we used to sit at the supper table every single night and we had something called the no phone zone. And so every time we sat down at the table, there were no devices at the table because it was a time to connect. And I know that that was something that Ruth really appreciated and loved. And, you know, we do it on holidays, you know, Thanksgiving and whatnot, but you know, there's some value in reconsidering and bringing those old style values back where we actually connect, where we go for a walk. You know, one of the things that Ruth and I will do instead of sitting and having a meeting on Teams or talking, you know, like that, what we'll do is we'll put our shoes on and we'll leave our devices at home and we go for a walk together for 30 minutes. And that's how we do our meetings a lot of the time. And I think that there's so much power in being able to connect without technology in our hands, and really bring back, because I think I believe a lot of our mental health issues are caused by social media and our constant desire to prove ourselves better than other people or to keep up with others, right?
100%. Yes. Social media is a killer of mental health, for sure. It can be used in a meaningful and valuable way. Again, this is your choice. If you're scrolling social media and you're looking at accounts of people who you think are doing better than you, or you feel intimidated by someone's success, or it's not adding value to you or inspiring you or adding value to your life in some way, you have the control to not see those accounts. Stop it. If you're not on there watching funny duck videos and like hilarious things that dogs do and makes you laugh and you feel light, if you're not utilizing social media in a way that it's benefiting you, then you're letting it control your life in a way that's going to take you down a dark path. And it can be really destructive. I think that you're right. Social media has had a huge negative impact on people's relationships, on how they view themselves. And this is where we need to really dig into, okay, who are you? What do you love? And what do you need to do more of so you can feel more like your authentic self? And once you're really confident and conscious of who you are and what you love, things like validation from social media just doesn't matter. It just becomes so insignificant that you can utilize social media in a different way. Here, mm-hmm. I'm going to post my pictures from my bodybuilding journey so that all of my family who couldn't be here with me can see a little bit of, you know, what's going on. That kind of thing. Utilize it as a tool instead of like seeking validation from it. I think, but it all comes back down to, you got to know who you are. You got to be in alignment with your authentic self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about creating a mindset of consistency, because I think if there's one thing, and I don't know about you, but when I hear the most often is, I could never do what you do. And it's because people aren't capable of being consistent. And for me, I'm just hardwired to the fact that I don't want to disappoint myself. I want to do my absolute best in everything that I do. And so for me, it's get up and do the cardio in the morning. I don't think about the fact that there's 45 minutes of it and, you know, I might be tired or whatever, but no, you just get up and do it. So when you're breeding the mindset of consistency with clients, because surely a lot of people come to you to say, you know, I want to be a better person, but I like to sleep in, I like to eat chips, I like to do all these different things. So it's not always about that, you know, whatever we want to call it, trauma or those high impact events, but sometimes it's just about becoming a better person and being the person that we want to be. What does that look like?
Cultivating consistency in someone's life who lacks consistency is probably the hardest thing that I come up against these days. But there are just some little tips and tricks that become really easy, like mind control or mind manipulation things. So an activity that I often have people do is to set a list of non-negotiables. What are some non-negotiables that you're going to do every single day? There's no negotiating with yourself. You just get up and do it. So if that's get up and make your bed, it's non-negotiable. It's just who I am. That's what I do. I get up and make my bed. Or maybe your non-negotiable is I'm going to eat breakfast every day. For some reason, people don't eat breakfast every day and it boggles my mind. Breakfast is my favorite meal of the day.
But me too.
Maybe that's one of your non-negotiables. I'm going to have breakfast every day. It's a non-negotiable. I get up, I got to eat in the morning. So, or around sleep in particular, people are terrible with their sleep. So maybe that's setting a bedtime every day. I'm in bed at 10:30. Doesn't matter what's going on, what's happening. That's my life. That's what I do. I'm in bed at 10:30 every day. So setting a list of non-negotiables and making them achievable right off the bat and acknowledging that you've done it is the foundation for building consistency. Acknowledgement. You have to see that you've done it. You have to be able to look back and go, wow, I ate breakfast every day this week. Good for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazing. Like, look what I can do. And then you start incorporating some things that challenge you, that expand your capacity for that diligence and that consistency. So maybe it's, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go outside for a walk for 20 minutes before I have my breakfast. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that every day. Incorporating some physical movement first thing in the morning can really set the tone for a controlled and effective day, especially if you're a high achiever or a high performer and you have high expectations of yourself. Physical activity first thing in the morning and being diligent about it can really set the tone. So set some non-negotiables for yourself. Be consistent and build them into who you are, not just, oh, I have to get up and I have to do this. No, Nikki, what do you do when you get up in the morning? My alarm goes off. I run through some gratitude in my head. I get up, I put my shoes on, and I get on my spin bike. Mm-hmm. That's who I am. That's my morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that you touched on something that I don't think a lot of people are really great at, and that is acknowledging their successes, right? Really looking at it and saying, yeah, I feel really good about where I've landed today, and I did good. Like, you know, it comes down to, you know, we can't give 100% every single day. We're human, right? And every day has its challenges and road bumps and whatever. But at the end of the day, when you're laying there, are you able to actually acknowledge the fact that you did something positive or something good, or that you, hey, maybe you did 80% of what you anticipated of doing? 80% is a pretty good percent. That's a B, right?
Yeah. Yes. We don't acknowledge our successes enough. We don't celebrate ourselves enough. And celebration goes far beyond, it's my birthday, let's celebrate and have a party. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Look, we've been consistent for so long. Like, we just did something consistently for 2 weeks. Let's celebrate that. Whatever a celebration looks like to you that's meaningful, we need to acknowledge the small wins, the big wins, and everything in between. And sometimes consistency is the win.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. So listen, now that you know, your services have changed a little bit, and you're working through a strategy called Life by Design, where you're teaching people to take their mindset and design a life that they want, like what you have done, what I have done. If people want to get in touch with you, if they were curious about where to get more information, how to sign up with you as a client, are you taking new clients right now? Where can they do that?
I thought maybe I was at my capacity for clients, but I'm really not. I'm really inspired by what I'm doing and where things are going. So yes, I am going to open the books again. And if people want to sign up with me, they can get at me through email, which is just nikki@nikkichartrand.com. Or you can always find me on Instagram and send me a message there, which is IFBBProNikki. And I'm sure, Kate, you'll have these in the show notes.
We will.
Yeah. And so those are the best ways to get in touch with me. And I want to hear about you. So when you message me, tell me where you're at and what you want to do. And let's get this thing going.
Amazing. So one final thought to send everybody off on a perfect Friday and into this beautiful weekend. If you were to give anybody one piece of advice or one piece of guiding light or an acknowledgement, what would that be?
On this Friday, I think you should know that you are more powerful than you think you are.
Well, thank you, Nikki, for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure having you back. Really appreciate you taking the time to share about your new practice and give us some good tips and tricks on a Friday.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed my time.
Wonderful. And Pocket Change listeners, thank you for joining us and sharing your time with us. As always, if there's any content you'd like to see us feature, anybody you'd like to see us host, reach out. A call doesn't cost a thing. Mm-hmm.